do recommend, friends, that sometime in your earthly existence, before it's too late, that you get hold of a Bible and read it for yourself. If you never have done, you know, how can you argue against something you know nothing about? Yeah, you've heard other people rubbish it. You've heard other people say derogatory things. You jump in a bandwagon, just like stupid old sheep, you know, as God says in the Bible. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Just follow the flock, you know. That's what you do, isn't it, with that's what you do with most of the trouble you get in. Not because it's a good thing, but just because the other dudes are doing it, so you just follow on, like, you know. It's like the, you know, it's like this daft Darwinian business, you know. You'd probably all, if I asked for a show of hands, you'd probably all say, yeah, I go with Darwin, you know. Why? Because you were taught it, your parents put it into you, school teachers put it into you, college put it into you, university put it into you. But let me ask, how many of you have actually read one book that opposes Darwinian evolutionism? How many of you have read one pamphlet? How many of you have read one paragraph that opposes Darwinian evolutionism? Now, you just accept it, blindly accept it. How sensible, how scientific, how logical, I ask you, is that? And of course, if at the end of the day God's going to judge you and me, and He is, for we're all accountable to God, like it or not, but if God's going to judge you and me on the basis of what He has caused to be written down in His book in the Bible, then, well, I suggest to you that, well, you at least ought to read something of what He has to say to you. So again, I offer you a copy of, well, it's an extract from the Bible. I'll give you a full Bible if you want one. Read for yourself and see, check out the things that I say to you, whether they be so or not. Who knows, maybe you might just be very pleasantly and wonderfully surprised. God may speak to you in salvation and bring you to that place of forgiveness and redemption. That, of course, is what the entire Bible is about from beginning to end. It's about the salvation of God. Old Testament tells you how His Son Jesus would come and what He would do. The New Testament tells you how that He came, how that He did it, why He did it, who He did it for, in order that people such as yourself and myself might believe in God's Son Jesus Christ and be saved. So there it is, but it's offered to you. It's Mark's Gospel, yours to take and do with as you will. But in the Bible, you'll find that God calls men and women, that's you yourself, calls you to faith, that is to believe on His Son Jesus Christ. His command is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise that goes with it is, and you shall be saved. In the New Testament, you can read these words for yourself. Repent, therefore, change your mind, that is, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Salvation, you see, depends upon, it requires the grace, the gift, that is, of faith. You can't be saved without faith. You can work and you can be very diligent in your work, you know, helping, being kind to other people, nice to other people, helping other people, the aged, the sick, the starving, and so on. You can do all of those things and much, much more, and you can work yourself to a frazzle in doing so, but that will not gain you one single brownie point in the sight of God. He says that your righteousnesses, that's your good deeds, he says they're like filthy rags in his sight. He won't touch them. God, the Bible says, is of purer eyes than to behold evil, iniquity, lawlessness. So salvation, you see, it requires, it demands the grace that is the gift of faith. Of course, it's given by God and given to, well, whoever he pleases to give it to. Of course, you could ask him for it. That would be one way forward. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened up to you. But God makes it quite clear in the Bible that without faith, it is a sheer and absolute impossibility to please him. Not even by religious activity. Some people think that being religious is the answer, that will please God. Dress differently, go different places, but just remain the same person, you know. But God will be pleased. He likes religious people. No, he doesn't. No, religion, good works, none of these things. Faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ, the Son of God alone. So salvation of which the Bible speaks, and salvation that is offered to you, presented to you this afternoon, it requires the gift of faith and the life of faith. Living, that is, by faith, not by sight, trusting in God, trusting him for absolutely everything. So in order to be saved, and there's something to be saved from, there's the danger of sin, your own sinful heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. Sinful heart, none righteous, no, not one. None good, no, not one, says God. So something to be saved from. There's your own sin, which of course is your greatest danger. And then of course there's the present day apostasy, the falling away of which God speaks that there will be, prophesied that there would be at the end times. That falling away, that apostasy has already begun and ought to be evident to anyone with eyes to see. As you look at the world, as people say to me, and not even Christians, they say to me, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Surely it is. It's on fire. It's burning with sin and apostasy. It's going to hell. Oh, there's no question about that. And then, of course, some people say, well, the lunatics have taken over the asylum. Yes, so it is. And of course, those lunatics that have taken over the asylum are simply leading you, the blind, leading the blind into more apostasy, lawlessness, and wickedness that abounds. So something, a lot to be saved from, is there not? And the only way that you can be saved is by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only way, you see, a person can be justified before God, made right before God, is by obeying this gospel command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Without faith, says God, it is impossible for anyone to please God. So he says, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Change your mind. You know, with reference to the daft Darwinian evolutionism that has blinded the world, and just about, apart from a few of us, just about everybody in it. Change your mind about God, His existence. Stop suppressing the truth, you know. You know that God exists just as much as I do. You know Him because in Him you live and move and have your being. You cannot breathe without Him. You know that He is. You know that He exists because He has made it plain to you. He has shown it to you. He says so in the Bible. And I'll believe God's word over your word any day of the week. Some of you tell me that you're atheists. I don't believe in atheists. I'm an atheist. I don't believe that there is such a thing. Because God has shown to you, made it plain to you, that He exists. You suppress that truth, you see. You hold it down in unrighteousness. And it's because of this that the wrath of God, you see, is being revealed against you and against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So in order to be justified, to be made right with God, any person, whoever they be, fat or thin, rich or poor, big or small, black or white, wherever they may come from, the far, the Middle East, Europe, the West, the North, the South, it makes no difference. One name, you see, God says, under the whole canopy of heaven, where by which a person can be saved. The name of Jesus, the one whom God requires you to believe in order to be saved. And of course, the foundation of this faith, you see, is that, well, it's not something that you do yourself because, well, you can no more believe in Jesus yourself than you can pull yourself up by your own bootlaces. This is an impossibility with you. But of course, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing at all. You see, God has to call you, and you have to hear the call. I know that you can hear my voice, but hearing the voice of a preacher is not the same as hearing the voice of God. It's hearing the voice of God in the proclamation of His word, hearing it, of course, and obeying it, doing what God says. But you see, when God does call, when you hear His voice, oh, you'll know, you'll recognize, you'll know it's Him, and you'll do, you'll repent, you'll turn, you'll believe, you'll be converted. Because God's call, you see, it comes with the power to prevail upon the person. So don't be saying, I will never believe this stuff. Never say never with God. Because you just don't know what He might do with you. He might even save you. He might even make you His own child. But when the call of God comes to a man or a woman, you see, it turns them. It turns them back to God. It turns them from sin, from their wicked ways. This is God's call, you see, to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, and let the wicked forsake his way, her way, and the unrighteous there. Well, they're unrighteous thinking. But when the call of God comes to you, see, you'll want to believe, You see, it will be sufficient. You won't be asking me for evidence, you know. You won't be saying silly things to me like, prove to me that God is, prove to me that somebody can be raised from the dead. You won't be saying silly things like that to me anymore. When the call of God comes to you, you'll know that it's Him, and you will base your faith on it. Your trust in Him upon it, you see. And of course, you will begin from that moment when you hear Him, you will begin to obey Him. Obey the gospel call to repent, to change your mind, to turn back from your sin and to turn to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, God, when He calls, here's the wonderful thing. He takes the worst of men and women, and He makes the best out of them. Don't be thinking He's looking for self-righteous dudes. He's not, you know, you might think, well, I'm posh, I'm respectable, I live in a nice semi, or I live in a detached house up in Nob Hill. We've got four cars in the driveway, a great big 4x4, and we've got designer clothes and technology, and you are the, oh, you're the epitome of respectability. You think God should do you a favor? Can I tell you? He's just as likely to call some beggar out of the dirt. He's just as likely to call some whore out of a brothel, or some druggie, or some drunkard lying in the gutter before He calls you. Don't think that your respectability gains you anything in the favor of God. Nothing at all. No merit at all. God, He calls the worst, and He makes the best out of them. The initiative, you see, is not with you. The initiative is with God. It always is. He calls, and you come. Jesus says, come to me, and you come. Jesus says, follow me, and you follow Him. That is when He calls. But it's something that He does, not something that you do. And when He calls, you will leave your sin and you will leave the sinful company that you frequently, that you customarily mix with. They will no longer be a pleasure. They will no longer be a delight to you. I tell you, when the call of God comes to you, it's a glorious, it's a powerful, powerful call. You will never be the same person again. And coming on the back of God's call, you see, there comes the promise of God in which you put your faith, your trust in, you see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the conviction, you see, with regards to things not seen, you know. You know, you won't be saying daft things like, you know, well, where is God? I can't see Him, like, you know, as some daft people do, you know. Or you'll know, you already do know that God exists. You know Him just as much as I know Him. But you know Him to condemnation. But then you see, when He calls you and you put your trust in His promise, you will know Him savingly. You will know Him in the fullness of His love. And you see, you will be a recipient of the inheritance of God's people. That is the hope, you see, of the glory of heaven one day. That one day, when you're finished on this earth, you know, when you depart this earth scene, you will have the assurance that you will be going to heaven. I ask people, you know, just about every day of my life, I ask them, I say, do you think you're going to heaven? And they say, I think so, I hope so, but they don't really know. You see, God's salvation, His call when it comes to a man or woman, brings with it the absolute assurance. You know that you're going to heaven. You see, this is all part of the package, the deal. Eternity is yours, you see? And this inheritance is kept for you. In heaven, it's guarded by God Himself. And this trust, you see, in the promise of God, it makes you His child. The Bible says, God says there, you know, that you're born into this world in a natural state and condition, and you're a child of wrath, you know? Under God's wrath, all the days of your existence, from the cradle, and I dare say probably for most of you, to the grave. Unless God's call comes to you and you are given the ability to believe in the promise of God, you remain that way, you see. But it's only the call of God and the promise of God and faith, you see, towards His Son, Jesus Christ, that can change that and make you a child of God instead of a child of wrath. And of course, then you see, well, you have the quietness, you have the peace, you have the contentment to wait for the promise of God to be fulfilled in the glory of heaven. So there you have it, you see, the call to faith, you see, it begins with God calling you out of the world, out of sin, out of the sinful company, and all that's attached to it, its consequences, and called into the presence in the kingdom of God, which you could never, never understand before. But now you're able to. And you're able, of course, as well to repent. And you're able to believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ. But then, of course, you begin from that moment, you begin to exercise your faith. Faith, you see, has to be exercised. Oh, there are many people in this day and generation, in your land today, in the Western world in particular, and they claim to be Christians. They say that they believe in Jesus, but you don't see them exercising this faith that they claim to have. And it seems to me that they're just simply and only just religious people like, well, any other bunch of religious people. The exercise of faith, you see, it shows itself in an implicit obedience to what God, what He commands in His Word. You see, this person who's heard the call of God and put their trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, is a person who has put themselves, placed themselves in the hand of God. And they go where He sends them. And they do what pleases Him, you see. No longer do you please yourself, but you please the God who has called you and saved you. You trust in the wisdom of His Word, you see, to guide you through this earth scene and to bring you to heaven. You submit yourself, you see, to His will, to His Word, because it's best, you see, it's wisdom. It's wisdom of the highest form. Not the cleverness of this world. Not the cleverness of Oxford and Cambridge and all the brats that issue from it these days. You know, your political class, bankers and the like. Oh, they're very clever, but wisdom? That they don't have. Wisdom is given, you see, to those who trust in Jesus. The wisdom of God, you see, expressed in the Bible, in God's Word, and nowhere else. And so, you see, as you begin to live as a pilgrim, one who's just passing through this world, I declare, I say to you, I love you people, you know, I do feel for you very much, because all you've got's this world, you know? All you've got's this world, and I do, I very much, I feel for you. It's tragic. I mean, look at this world, eh? Look at the hell that it is, eh? And if this is all that you've got, eh? And all the rubbish and trash, you know, that you're buying every day, lusting after, you can't get enough, and it doesn't matter how much of it you get, you're still never satisfied, because this world and its stuff is all that you've got. And it never satisfies. It can't satisfy. There's nothing in all of God's creation that can satisfy a human being. And this is all you've got, the world. I feel for you. I love you. I want something better for you. I want the kingdom of God for you and His righteousness. I want the glory of heaven for you. The man or woman you see who's heard the call of God and put their trust in the Son of God, entered the kingdom of God, become the child of God. This person you see has a hope beyond this world. This world's just a piece of rubbish to them. But you know that it is. I'm telling you what you know. But you don't want to hear it. You just keep suppressing the truth in your unrighteousness. It's a shame. I pray before I come out to you, and I pray afterwards, that God would open your eyes, that He would unstop your ears, so that you would hear His voice, His call, and that you would come out of the darkness into His marvelous light, that you might have the hope of heaven. But the person you see called of God, the person gifted with faith, you see, the ability to trust in Jesus Christ, is a person who lives thereafter, you see, in obedience to the commands of God. This is the test of faith. Somebody says to you that they're a Christian. Well, watch them. Listen to them. See what they do. Do they obey the commands of God? Oh, do they obey the commands of God? If they don't, well, I tell you, whatever they tell you, whatever they say in word, it doesn't matter a hoot. Listen, let me tell you what the commands of God are. Here they are. Write out of God's word for you. Huh? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him or her guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Young people, children, you're listening. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Those are God's commands. That's the obedience, you see. The person who believes is a person who loves and delights in those commandments. But of course, to you who do not believe, oh, they're a burden to you. They're a grievance to you. Even my reading them is an anathema to you. You hate them because you hate God. You'll never love His commandments, and you'll never love God until you've been born again. Till God changes your heart, until you've heard the call of God. And given the grace of faith and the ability to exercise faith and to live by faith. Which of course is revealed, you see, in the person who obeys the commandments of God. You see, God desires a loving obedience. God's children, they keep God's commandments not in order to gain His favor. They keep His commandments because they already have His favor through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. So there you see, there's the test of faith, the real test, the litmus test of faith. Not just a person's words, not just a person who says, oh, I believe in Jesus. There are thousands of them. But the person who obeys, who does what God commands. If a person truly believes, they will keep the commandments of God. But then the Bible, and this is why I come to you with the Bible, it's why I offer you a copy of the Bible for yourself, you see, because there, you see, you'll find many encouragements to faith to believe. This is the one thing God would have you to do, you see. As you read Mark's Gospel, for instance, over and over again, you'll find people who come to Jesus, all kinds of problems, all kinds of crises, all kinds of disasters, and the answers given to them the same each and every time. Have faith in God, only believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. So you see, people, there's in God's Word in the Bible, there is much to encourage faith. And of course, what's laid before you ultimately is the hope of heaven, you see. A city whose builder and maker is God, whose foundations are in God, you know. Stability and power, you see. The one thing that you don't have in this world, because you just don't know, do you? When your own nation will fall apart at the seams, economically, morally, whichever way, already cracking at the seams. Will there be war in Europe? Will the Russians make war in Ukraine and spill us all into another European-wide war? You know, people, you just don't know. This world is just so, so unstable. You have no stability. You have no anchor for your soul. It's no wonder to me that there's no peace with you. It's no wonder to me that you live in fear, stress all the time. No wonder you need the drugs, legal and illegal. I don't wonder at the man who turns to the drink, you know. A nighttime in oblivion, you know. Just blotted out for a nighttime. Well, it don't matter. You got a hangover in the morning, but at least you escaped the rat race for an evening. I don't wonder at that. It's all you've got, you see. Without the kingdom of God, it's all you've got. No stability and no power to resist the evil of your own heart. Anybody else's evil and wickedness that you see, that you find in the world. And you have the enjoyment, you see. Another encouragement to faith is that you have the merits of Jesus. You got Jesus on your side, a mediator between you and God, you know, to deal with your sin, to reconcile you to God. You know, this whole business of Islam, the question was asked in one of your newspapers the other week. One word with a question mark after it, why? And the question was asked, you see, with reference to the Tunisian slaughter. Why this killing? Why does this slaughter go on? The author is asking the question, and it's a good question. And there's an answer to the question. You see, their system, of belief, their religious book, the Quran, you see, does not give them any guarantee of paradise. For a Muslim person, you see, there's only one single way by which they can have the absolute assurance of getting to what they call paradise. And that's by becoming a jihadist. Isn't that ironic? They have to become murderers in order to be assured of heaven? We don't think so. The problem is, you see, they don't have a mediator. They have no blood sacrifice. Oh, they believe in the law of Moses, they tell us in their book. But Moses the prophet, he says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. But they reject Jesus, just as you do. And so they have no sacrifice for their sin. They have no reconciliation to God. They have no forgiveness. And they have no assurance of heaven. So they turn to this stuff, you see, in order to gain it. But they don't gain paradise. All they get is a bigger load of hell. Damnation. It's a shame. Millions of them all over the world that believe in that false religion. Just as bad as your atheism. Just as bad as your godlessness. They're damned just the same as you are without Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the Bible gives you this encouragement to faith. Believing on God's Son, you see, entering God's kingdom. You have a mediator. You have Jesus to reconcile you to God, to bring you to God, you see. You have the influence of heaven working in and ruling your life even before you get to heaven. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful. Wonderful thing to be a Christian, believe me. No small thing. But again, it's not something you do, you see. It's the person whom God calls, and by His grace He imparts to them the ability to repent and believe. And of course to exercise that faith in obedience to God. And then of course, well, another thing is the promised power of God, you see. The power of God for salvation. The Old Testament of the Bible. There's a character, you may have heard of him, his name was Abraham. And Abraham believed that God could raise the dead. You people say to me, you say, how can that be possible? How can somebody come back from the dead? How can God create a universe? How can this, how can that, how can miracles happen? Is your reason the determiner of what's possible and what's impossible? God is sovereignly the determiner of what's possible and what's impossible. These things with you are impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. So you see, people, power, it belongs to God, the power even to save you.
Bless you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, bless you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
And you, thank you, sir. Did you, right? Okay,
good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, sir. God bless you. So there you go, people. It's, you know, the Word of God, the Bible, that's why I bring it to you. That's why I offer it to you. We don't need nothing else. Word of God, you see. You see, well, if somebody came back from the dead, then maybe I'd believe. Well, Jesus did. So will you believe? Nah, you won't. Tell you people, you won't believe the Bible. You won't believe at all. You can't take God at His word. You can't take nothing. You're left in your sin. You're left in your darkness. You're left, you see, in a state, a damnable state, I have to say. And only one way out. And Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other way. Written in the Bible, it's there for you to see, but you see, the Word of God, food for your faith, or for faith that, you know, that you might, well, one day eventually have, pray so that that would be the case. But you see, ultimately here in the Bible, in the Word of God, you find the account, the record, you see, of God's Son, Jesus Christ. His sacrifice for sin. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners, just as the Bible said He would. Christ rose again from the dead, just as the Bible said He would. This is the gospel, people. This is the good news. Jesus Christ, a Savior, a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice to wash you, make you clean, relieve you of your sin and your guilt, and give to you the assurance of heaven, His resurrection from the dead after the third day to justify you, make you right before God. Without Jesus, without this good news, you haven't got no hope. some of you, I hear them, you know, they laugh, you know. But I look at you, I look at your world, and I look at what they've got. Eh? They can't even resist the white stick in their mouth, you know, the fags. Eh? You know, you're laughing at me. You need to take a look in the mirror, friend. No, you've got nothing to laugh about. If you knew the truth, if you understood the truth, I'm telling you, you would be crying. You would be crying, you would be weeping. I tell you, if you got a glimpse of the truth of your own sin and your own vile state and condition, you would swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus Christ. But you're blind. Blinded by the God of this age. Blinded by your suppression of the truth. Blinded by your ungodliness and unrighteousness. Blinded to a man or woman. And only God can remove the veil and enable you to see it. But people, as I declare the truth to you concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, the pledge of the gospel is life and love and light everlasting to all who will obey, hear the call of God, repent, turn back, that your sins might be blotted out, and that you might have the assurance one day of heaven. As I started out, it's all of grace, God's favor, God's given. It's all gifts. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you. Of course, you haven't got it, but you could ask Him. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him.
Judas, what? One for apostle. Yeah? Judas. Where is him writing, say me, please?
Sorry, what question?
What? You know Judas, yeah? One from apostle.
Judas. Yes.
He write, yeah? You know, he write. When we're walking with Jesus.
He write the letter.
Yeah.
Where did you get the letter?
Paul letter.
He write the letter.
He never wrote no letter.
He write.
No, sorry. Sorry, you got it wrong. Orthodox, Russians, you see, you know. So, you see, it's the gospel and the gospel alone, Jesus, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who died and rose again from the dead, that you might know eternal life. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. It's all here in God's book, Word of God, offered to you free of charge, without any cost or obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will.